You know, this time of year, I love this time of year. I mean, the fall colors that are happening, the crisp air, being able to have fires underneath the stars. I'm just looking forward to Thanksgiving, spending time with the family, having a wonderful meal, and then thanking God for all the blessings he's given to us. But there's something else that we're looking forward to. I'm pretty sure of that. The fall holy days. They're almost here. Are you excited? Are you looking forward to those days, what they represent? Christ's return, the Feast of Trumpets. Are you ready for the glorious King to come back and to rule with peace and harmony? I'm looking forward to that day. When Satan will be bound on atonement, man will be at one with God. That dastardly being will be done away with. What a wonderful day that it will be. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, highlight of the year. You looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles? Yes. The millennium, thousand-year reign. Christ and his saints will rule to teach mankind God's way. And then the eighth day, the last day. Is there anyone you're looking forward to see? Any saints you're looking forward to see again? My mom and dad, I'm looking forward to see. I'm looking forward to for all of mankind to be taught God's way. So there's hope. We're looking forward to those days. You know, I remember as a child growing up, heading to the feast, going to Mount Pocono, Wisconsin Dells, going to Lake of the Ozarks, meeting up with the brethren, around 10, 12,000 people. Talk about excitement in the air. So, brethren, I hope we're excited for these days that are coming up. My question is for all of us today. Have you caught feast fever yet? I hope we all have, and I hope we all will before the feast. And I don't think feast fever just means the Feast of Tabernacles, all of God's holy days. I hope we catch it. And that is the title of this message, is make sure you catch it. Make sure you catch it. For those that have been in the church for a while, I've heard that phrase, feast fever. You know, I thought I'd look it up in the dictionary. Didn't find it. Didn't find it. But Urban Dictionary, there is a definition, doesn't define it very well. What is feast fever? Well, it's a feeling of excitement, looking forward to keeping these holy days that foretell a glorious time to come. Feast fever. We desire to worship God with our brothers and sisters. And when we go to the feast where God has placed his name, and you meet brethren you haven't known before, does it feel like you've known for a long time? Because of the tie that binds, God's Holy Spirit. We come together in unity to worship, to keep these days. Looking forward to escaping the decaying world around us. You looking forward to that? To get a glimpse of the wonderful world tomorrow, what it's going to be like. So there are God's holy days, though, are they not? He commands us to keep these days. Let's turn to Leviticus 23:2. So are these Jewish holy days? Are they the Israelites' holy days? These are God's holy days. Leviticus 23:2. And it states, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feast. God claims them. They're his. He holds them near and dear to himself. And we're commanded to obey and to worship him. And to keep these days. Let's drop down to verse 39 through 41. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. Have you heard the argument? You usually have to go to church on the first and the last day. You can do whatever you want during the feast on the other days. What did God say? And I'm going to be bringing out some more scriptures that state, for 7 days, every day is holy to God. He made these feasts. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Only if you really want to be joyful. No, God says, you shall rejoice. Is that a hard command to observe, to keep? Our glorious Father, why does he want us to rejoice? Well, when we come together, you know, at the dinner table, mom and dad sitting there, and they want to see their family having a wonderful time, enjoying themselves. And God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to enjoy ourselves before him because he loves us. What a wonderful father we have. Verse 41, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in a year, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. So it's a perpetual statute forever throughout the generations. We are commanded to keep these days, and we're commanded to rejoice before our Father. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 15. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to spend time with us to see us just having a wonderful time. Enjoy yourselves. Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 15. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. When you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press, and you shall rejoice in your feast. Again, God wants us to rejoice. You and your son, your daughter, your male servant and your female servant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. I think that's everybody, pretty much. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God and the place which he chooses. But again, 7 days, a sacred feast, 7 days. God wants to see us before him. Is there anything else you want to do? Is it a vacation? No, it's not a vacation, but it is a wonderful time. But we're to go there to learn. I mean, these messages that we're going to hear, we should anticipate these messages. They've been prepared, and hopefully they will be powerful for us to learn more of God and his ways. Why wouldn't you want to be there at services, to be uplifted and to spend time with brothers and sisters, rejoicing before our Father? Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. Where do the blessings come from? Where did God say, I shall surely bless you? Whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. But who gives the increase? God. And he says he will bless us. And has he blessed you this year? Let's remember the blessings and where they come from. Come from our loving Father. And he says, you know, tithe, a 10%, and then do what with it? Well, spend it on your heart's desire. Now, is that another hard thing to do? Spend it on yourself. What would you like to do? Are you looking forward to the wonderful meals together, having some nice drinks together, spending time with one another? That's what God wants. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 26. Verse 22, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God. Again, God wants his children before him, spending time with him, revering him, loving him, in a place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always, to revere him, to be thankful for all he does for us. But if that journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take that money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. So are you excited? Are you excited? I hope we all are excited. And having that attitude of gratitude. You know, let's remember the Israelites. How did they do for 40 years? Was God angry with that attitude, murmuring? Yes, he was. They were really good at something, a sour and negative attitude. That's what they were good at. Never happy. Oh, thank you, Father, for taking out us out of that hard servitude, that slavery. Thank you for doing that and providing for us. Our clothes haven't worn out for 40 years. Thank you for providing food and drink for us so we can survive. Do you think God would have taken them into the promised land with that attitude? They never made it in. It's like a dog chasing its tail around and around and around. Never made it in because of their attitude. So when God tells us to rejoice, he wants us to have that attitude of thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. You know, there isn't any sickness or any fever I want to catch. I don't like to be sick, but I hope we all are all infected by this feast fever. It's important to catch it. And why? How does God want us to approach him? When I get around to it, you know, I'll spend time with you. You know, I don't really remember. I'll ask you for blessings, but I don't really get back with you and thank you. God wants us to have that desire to desperately seek him every day. And he knows if we're doing that. What does he say about being lukewarm? He wants us to have that zeal, that first love. So it's very important that we catch feast fever because this tells God so much about us. I remember Mr. Armstrong on opening night or opening day of the feast. What would he say? Why are you here? Why are you here? So have we thought about why are we going to the feast? What are the reasons we're going? What's our motives and intentions to make it to the feast? Not just to show up, to serve others, to love others, to praise God's name, and to really give an effort to benefit everyone. That's what we need to be thinking about. Why are we going? So there are reasons why we should catch feast fever and rejoice before our Father. What does this tell God about us? There's four things I want to point out real quick. The first thing it tells God is that we are thankful and grateful. We are thankful and grateful. When he sees us rejoicing, we understand everything we have is from him. We notice his hand in our lives. We acknowledge him. We don't take the things for granted. And he provides for us. And that's so important to God, is it not? I know when my children, and this is not in the notes, but when I do something for them and they acknowledge it, oh, I'll do more for you. What else you want? What else you need? And that's what God wants to see, that thankful and grateful attitude. When we catch feast fever, the second thing it shows God is that we place our trust and faith in him. Now, how many are going to be taking time off of school? How many are going to be taking time off of work? You know, I remember taking time off of school when I was a little kid. Oh, it was not easy. Teacher, I know we just started. I need to take these days and what? And then going in front of the school board when I get back, answer for yourself, why did you take off so much time? And then, as I got older, asking the boss, the owner, I got to take time off. You put us in a pinch. You won't be able to keep this job for you. You won't have a job when you come back. So when we place our trust in faith, who goes before us and who fights our battles? God does. Excuse me. I don't know why I get emotional, but because he's committed to us. He's faithful to us, and he doesn't let us down. We place our confidence in him. Have you seen that in other people's lives? Do you know the stories? And God does. You know, God says, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord, and that's what he means. Place your trust and fear, our trust and faith in him. Don't fear, because he's got your back and he's going to make a way. There is a light at the end of the tunnel because God goes before us. So make sure that we place our trust and faith. The third thing it shows God is he knows that we understand the importance of our calling. Can you imagine your life without your calling? Where would you be? That's a scary situation to be in this world with no hope, not knowing the truth. I mean, God understands that that calling means more than anything to us. It's the greatest blessing. He's brought us out of this darkness into the marvelous light, has he not? To the way, to the truth, to the life. So, and we're guaranteed eternal life. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, if you hold fast and endure to the end, And if you are faithful to the end, you're guaranteed eternal life. So God understands, we know, the importance of our calling when we're rejoicing before him. The fourth thing is we know it's only through him he makes us new. He makes us new. There's eternal life through his son. He forgives and forgets our sins when we repent. His tender mercies, he lifts us up, washes us clean, dusts us off. Don't look back. Don't dredge up the past. Move forward. So the fourth thing, he makes us new. So remember, brethren, these days are almost here, the holy days. Are you excited? Have you caught feast fever yet? Let's make sure we catch it.